الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سبحان الله. سبحان الله. سميع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Inshallah, after the remaining dua, درس القرآن will take place. All brothers are requested to participate. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahdah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Amma ba'd. Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. سيقول المخلفون إذا انطلقتم إلى مغانم لتأخذوها ذرونا نتبئكم يريدون أن يبدلوا كلام الله قل لن تتبعونا كذلكم قال الله من قبل فسيقولون بل تحسدوننا بل كانوا لا يفقهون إلا قليلا قل للمخلفين من الأعراب ستدعون إلى قوم أولي بأس شديد تقاتلونهم أو يسلمون فإن تطيعوا يؤتكم الله أجرا حسنا وإن تتولوا كما توليتم من قبل يعذبكم عذابا أليما ليس على الأعمى حرج ولا على الأعرج حرج ولا على المريض حرج ومن يطع الله ورسوله يدخله جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ومن يتول يعذبه عذابا أليما صدق الله مولانا العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ اللَّهُمَّ انفَعْنَا بِمَا عَلَّمْتَنَا وَعَلِّمْنَا مَا يَنفَعُنَا وَزِدْنَا عِلْمًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته سيقول المخلفون إذا انطلقتم إلى مغانم لتأخذوها ذرونا نتبئكم soon When you proceed to take possession of the booty, those left behind will say, Allow us to follow you. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُبَدِّلُوا كَلَامَ اللَّهِ They wish to alter Allah Ta'ala's speech. قُلْ O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, لَن تَتَّبِعُونَ You may never follow us. كَذَٰلِكُمْ قَالَ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ Thus has Allah Ta'ala stated from before. فَسَيَقُولُونَ They will then say, بَلْ تَحْسُدُونَنَا You people are merely jealous of us. بَلْ كَانُوا لَا يَفْقَهُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا In fact, they understand but a little. قُلْ O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, لِلْمُخَلَّفِينَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ To those villages who are left behind, سَتُدْعَوْنَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ You will soon be called to fight against a nation of immense strength. تُقَاتِلُونَهُمْ Whom you will fight, أَوْ يُسْلِمُونَ Or who will accept Islam. فَإِن تُطِيعُوا يُؤْتِكُمُ اللَّهُ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا If you obey, Allah Ta'ala will give you a grand reward. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا But if you turn away, كَمَا تَوَلَّيْتُم مِّن قَبْلُ Like you did in the past, يُعَذِّبُكُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا Allah Ta'ala will inflict a painful punishment on you. لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجٌ There shall be no sin for the blind, وَلَا عَلَى الْأَعْرَجِ حَرَجٌ No sin for the paralyzed. وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرِيضِ حَرَجٌ And no sin for the ill. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ He who obeys Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ He will be Allah Ta'ala will enter him into Jannat, into gardens beneath which rivers flow. يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ يُعَذِّبْهُ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. As for those who turn away, Allah Ta'ala will inflict them with a painful punishment. We continue with the commentary of Surah Al-Fath, and we have reached ayah number 15. Surah Al-Fath was revealed when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in were returning from the great event which is known as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made mention in this surah of events which were going to take place in the future. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requested the people of Madinatul Munawwara as well as all those who were residing on the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwara to join him as he was leaving Madinatul Munawwara with the intention to perform Umrah. But because there was a possibility that a battle could take place, although there was no intention of engaging in a war or a battle with the disbelievers of Makkatul Mukarrama, but due to there always being this possibility, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's desire was that as many Muslims who are able to join him should do so, so that they have more numbers. So as far as the mu'minun were concerned, the genuine believers were concerned, for them it was a privilege that they had this opportunity to visit Makkatul Mukarrama, perform tawaf, cool their eyes with the sight of the Kaaba, and perform Umrah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So instantly they began preparations for this journey. But as far as the munafiqun and the hypocrites were concerned, then due to their nifaq and due to their hypocrisy, they rejected this proposal. And thereafter, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in reached Hudaybiyah, the enemy was overawed. And as a result of this, that the enemy was overawed, there were two possibilities. One was that a battle would take place, and the second was that there would be a treaty which would be established between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that from these two possibilities, which one is going to be more beneficial for Islam. So in here there is one great lesson, and that lesson is that jihad and fighting against the non-Muslims has never been the objective. In fact, the objective has always been that the religion of Islam should be preferred, should be preserved. The kalima la ilaha illallah should be elevated. Justice should prevail on the land. This is the objective. Now, if this objective can be, if it is possible for a person to achieve this objective without jihad, then Islam will not command the believers to engage in jihad. But when it is not possible to achieve this objective without jihad, then at that time, the demand of Sharia will be to engage in jihad. It's just like When you have an individual who is ill, and the doctor, he realizes that if this one limb is not removed from this person's body, then his whole life is at risk. So the objective of the surgeon is never going to be that during this 1 week, I have to try and carry out at least 10 operations. Even though this is his job, this is his engagement. He will always try and cure the patient without the operation, without removing the limb, without cutting the body. But if this is not possible, and he feels that I will have to remove this one limb in order to preserve the remaining of the body, then he will have to do so. And in that case, nobody will say anything negative with regards to that surgeon. They will not say that what an evil individual he is. He has removed one limb of this person's body. Whereas each and every person will say good things about him. That he was a very good surgeon. He was a very good doctor. It was very good that he removed this limb from his body. He saved his life. So sometimes in the world there is one limb. There is one group of people due to whom nobody on earth is able to live with peace. So they are a pimple in the body. They are a sore in the body. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can see the entire body of humanity, knows that until this limb is not removed, the rest of humanity will not be preserved. So for this reason, Islam then says that jihad here is necessary, and this part of the ummah has to be removed from the world. So this is one lesson which is indirect from this particular ayah, but which is important to mention here. So anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims, despite the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een wanting to fight against the Quraysh of Makkatul Mukarrama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that at this moment in time, jihad is not the best option. The best option here is to engage in a treaty. So they engage in a treaty and they are now returning back to Madinatul Munawwara, and Suratul Fath is revealed. Now when Suratul Fath is revealed, there are certain prophecies which are mentioned in this surah. The first prophecy which is mentioned in this surah is that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you return to Madinatul Munawwara, the munafiqeen and the hypocrites, they will feel ashamed because they did not join you on this expedition. And the reason they did not join you is, in their mind, this thought was crossing their mind that when the Muslims will go to Makkatul Mukarrama, they are going to be destroyed by the non-Muslims. They are not even going to return back to Madinatul Munawwara. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba will be destroyed in Makkatul Mukarrama. They will not return. And when they will not return, then we in Madinatul Munawwara will then be able to live our lives as we wish and desire. Right now we are hypocrites and we have to show that we are Muslims. So we also have to go to the masjid and perform salah. We also have to act like Muslims. But as soon as they go to Makkah and they are destroyed, we will gain this freedom. So inside they were feeling very happy. But when they saw that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba are returning, contrary to our thinking, now they knew that we will have to face the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inside they were feeling ashamed. And they felt the only way to show our faces to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that we present excuses, as was explained in last week's lesson. So this was the first prophecy, that they will feel ashamed and they will present their excuses as to why they could not join the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this trip to Umrah. Thereafter, the second prophecy which Allah ta'ala mentions here is that in the apparent, the Muslims seem to be very weak when we look at this treaty which takes place. Because when we look at the clauses, all the clauses are against Islam. They seem to be in favor of the non-Muslims. For example, the non-Muslims, one clause they agreed upon was that if somebody from Madinatul Munawwara comes to Makkatul Mukarrama, then we do not have to return him back to you in Madina Munawwara. But if somebody from Makkatul Mukarrama decides to embrace Islam and comes to you to Madinatul Munawwara, you will have to return him back to us. So very stern clauses against the Muslims and against Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the surah, وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا, that very soon we are going to give you a conquest. We are going to grant you a victory. Now at that time, when the Muslims are returning to Madinatul Munawwara, they do not know what this victory is going to be. Because Allah Ta'ala simply mentioned that you are going to be granted a victory very close in a few days or a few months. So this was a second prophecy, that very soon you will be granted a victory. And a third prophecy, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this surah, is that when you will be granted this victory, what will be this victory? This victory will be the conquest of Khaybar. That very soon you are going to conquer the land of Khaybar. Now, as far as Khaybar is concerned, it was a very fertile land. It was a land where there was much wealth. Very opulent land. So every individual knew that if we were to conquer Khaybar, we will gain a large amount of wealth in return. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah mentions a third prophecy, that O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you will make this announcement that we the Muslims are going to go to Khaybar with the intention to conquer Khaybar, then on that occasion, these munafiqun and these hypocrites, who when you invited them to go to perform Umrah to Makkatul Mukarrama, they made excuses and they said that we cannot come with you. We have to look after our families. We have to look after our lands. They will all be prepared to come to, with you to Khaybar. Because now they will see the benefits. Over there they saw the harm. Over there the thought crossed their mind that if we go to Makkatul Mukarrama, our life is at risk. So there they made excuses. And over here, because they can see the benefits, then they will all be prepared to come. But O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time, when you make the announcement and they stand up and they are prepared to join you on this expedition to Khaybar, you are going to say to them that you do not have permission to come with us. This is the third prophecy. And the reason for this is that as far as conquering Khaybar is concerned, this is going to be a great privilege for those who will be part of this expedition. It will be a means of great pride and honor. Likewise, it will be a means of great reward in the Akhirah, in the hereafter. And number three, when the fort of Khaybar is conquered, then after this, all the remaining expeditions will become easier for the Muslims. This will be a door that when this door opens, then the remaining expeditions will become easier. So because this is a great privilege for whoever becomes part of this expedition, those who remained behind, when they had the opportunity to show their sacrifice for the sake of Islam, they are not worthy of being part of this expedition. So this is the third prophecy which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this surah, that these people who remain behind, they will not have the privilege and the honor of being part of this group, and likewise they will also not be deserving of the booty which you will receive when you conquer Khaybar. Now, the amazing thing over here is that the Treaty of Hudaybiyah took place in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah. So in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah takes place. Thereafter, you have the month of Dhul-Hijjah, and thereafter, you have the month of Muharram. So we're looking at approximately 2.5 to 3 months. In these 2.5 to 3 months, this ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this prophecy, that this is going to happen, you are going to call the people that let's go to Khaybar. And when you call them that let's go to Khaybar, then at that time, the munafiqeen and the hypocrites who said, we are not prepared to join you in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, they will be prepared to join you. And you will say to them that you are not allowed. And when you say to them that you are not allowed to join us, then they will say that the reason why he is telling us you are not allowed to join us is because you are jealous of us. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned everything, that this is going to happen. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not keep this ayah hidden. He recited this ayah also over and over again in these 2.5 to 3 months. So what does the intelligence say? Your intelligence tells you that at that time, any intellectual person would have remained silent. He would not have opened his mouth. He would not have been prepared to join the Muslims. Because the Quran has already told you that this is going to happen. If I was to say to somebody that there is this one job which needs to be carried out in my house, it's quite a difficult task, but I need you to assist me. And this person says that, I'm feeling very ill, I'm feeling very, very tired, I can't join you. I won't be able to help you. And a couple of hours later, I say to somebody that I'm going to go to a restaurant to eat and to relax and have a good time. And you know him, a couple of hours ago I told him to join me for a task and he was saying he's feeling very ill and very tired. Now you go and tell him that he's going to the restaurant to enjoy himself and he wants you to join him. And watch, he'll join me as well. Now, if that person goes and tells him that this is what he was saying about you, even though he will want to join me, he will control himself and say, I don't want this embarrassment. So the Quran has already said everything. But despite of this, this is the proof that the Quran is the kalam of Allah Ta'ala and the speech of Allah Ta'ala. That they still did what the Quran said. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, سَيَقُولُ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ Soon when you, سَيَقُولُ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ Soon when the مُخَلَّفُونَ, those who remain behind, سيقول المخلفون إذا انطلقتم إلى مغانم لتأخذوها ذرونا نتبئكم. Soon when you Muslims proceed to take the possession of the booty, meaning when you march to conquer Khaybar, those munafiqeen, those hypocrites who are left behind during the journey of Hudaybiyah, they will say, allow us to follow you. ذرونا نتبئكم. They will say that allow us to follow you. So allow us to follow you here means that let us also join you in this expedition. Allow us to follow you. So the Quran says, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُبَدِّلُوا كَلَامَ اللَّهِ They wish to alter, they wish to change Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech. Because Allah ta'ala has already said that they will not be allowed to join you. Allah ta'ala has told you that you tell them that they are not allowed to join. And they are saying that we want to join. So they want to change this part of the Quran in which Allah has already said that they are not allowed to join. So يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُبَدِّلُوا كَلَامَ اللَّهِ قُلْ أَوْ نَبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ You say, لَن تَتَّبِعُونَ You may never follow us. So you may never follow us here means that as far as this expedition is concerned, you are not allowed to join us. In future, when there will be more expeditions, then you will be given an opportunity to once again do tawbah, become mu'minun, and join the believers in the expeditions. But as a means of punishment, because you are lazy on the occasion of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, as a means of punishment, in this expedition of Khaybar, you will not be allowed to join us. Only those Sahaba will be allowed to join who joined on the occasion of Treaty of Hudaybiyah. So, لَن تَتَّبِعُونَ. And why is this? كَذَلِكُمْ قَالَ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. That this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already stated this from before. He has already said this from before. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when you will tell them that you are not allowed to join us, فَسَيَقُولُونَ, they will then say, بَلْ تَحْسُدُونَنَا, you people are merely jealous of us. So either they will say this on your face, or they amongst themselves will say that the reason why they are not letting us join them on this expedition is because they are jealous of us. They do not want us to gain the booty which they are going to receive when they conquer Khaybar. So Allah Ta'ala says, بَلْ كَانُوا لَا يَفْقَهُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. In fact, they understand but a little. Meaning their understanding is very little. What does this mean? As far as their worldly understanding is concerned, from a worldly point of view, they have a great understanding. This is why on the occasion of Hudaybiyah, they said, we are not going to join the Muslims. Why? Because they feared that their lives are at risk. And now on the occasion of Khaybar, they can see the wealth they will receive. So they are saying, we are prepared, we are ready. So look, from a worldly point of view, their mind works. But from the point of view of Akhirah, they are saying that the reason why these people are not letting us join them is because they are jealous of us. So how little is their understanding of deen? Because even a simple person with a simple amount of understanding can understand this, that there is no jealousy here. Those who sacrificed on the occasion of Hudaybiyah, Allah Ta'ala is honoring them and giving them this opportunity to join this expedition where they will receive something great in the world also and in the Akhirah also. Number one. Number two, you've already spent time with the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And you've seen their zuhd and their abstinence from this world. So why would they be jealous? Why would they be jealous that these people are going to gain more of the dunya and the world in comparison to us? This is never going to happen. And number three, their understanding is so less that they are saying that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is lying about Allah Ta'ala. Is this even possible? So, بَلْ كَانُوا لَا يَفْقَهُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that قُلْ لِلْمُخَلَّفِينَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ. Tell those villagers who are left behind, سَتُدْعَوْنَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ. That you will soon be called to fight against a nation of immense strength. Now over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the munafiqeen and the hypocrites, and also to some of the Muslims and the believers. Because when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the announcement that we are going for Umrah, to perform Umrah, then just as the munafiqeen and the hypocrites decided not to go to Makkatul Mukarramah, there were a handful of believers who also did not join this particular trip and this particular expedition. And the reason behind this was that there were certain Muslims who were living on the outskirts, away from Madinatul Munawwara. Their status was not the same as those who were living in Madinatul Munawwara. Likewise, they were influenced by the environment they were living in. And because the announcements would be made by the leaders of the tribes, that as a tribe, it is our decision that we shouldn't join the Muslims on this particular journey, because these are our circumstances. Now, when this announcement would be made, There would be one or two Muslims who would also feel that we also need to remain with our clan and with our tribe. So they also didn't join. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to mention that those people who did not join because they were part of a clan and this announcement was made that as a clan we can't go, or there was also this possibility that some munafiqun, later they embraced Islam. On that occasion, they were not Muslims, but later they embraced Islam. So there is consolation for all of these individuals. And the consolation for them is that although you will not be allowed to join the Muslims on this particular occasion when you are going to conquer Khaybar, in the future there are going to be much more severe battles and much more severe expeditions. There you will be given an opportunity to show whatever you want to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There you will be given an opportunity to make your sacrifices. So satud'auna ila qawmin, towards such a nation, uli ba'sin shadid. Satud'auna ila qawmin uli ba'sin shadid. That you will soon be called to fight against a nation of immense strength. Who is this referring to? So after this conquest, first of all, Fath Makkah took place. Makkatul Mukarramah was liberated. After Makkatul Mukarramah was liberated, the Battle of Hunain took place, in which the Muslims, they fought against the tribes Hawazin and Thaqif. This was a very severe battle. From all the battles which took place before the Battle of Hunain, the Battle of Hunain was the most severe battle. And thereafter, during the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Battle of Yamama took place, in which the Muslims, they fought against Musaylama Kadhab, who claimed to be the Prophet of Allah ta'ala, and the Banu Hanifa tribe. And thereafter, during the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Muslims waged war against the Persian Empire as well as the Roman Empire. The Battle of Qadisiyah and the Battle of Yarmouk. And these two battles were even more severe than the Battle of Yamama, which took place during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In fact, as far as the Battle of Qadisiyah is concerned, in history, there was no battle which was more severe than the Battle of Qadisiyah. And the reason for this is that for 72 hours, consistently, the battle continued. In those days, for 72 hours, this war continued and there was no breaks. And despite the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in having very little provisions, they still engaged in this war. And the result of this was that Kisra's empire, it was buried forever. And thereafter, when the Battle of Yarmouk took place, then Qaisar, he was also defeated. And the prophecy which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned during his lifetime, that إِذَا هَلَكَ كِسْرَى فَلَا كِسْرَى بَعْدَهُ وَإِذَا هَلَكَ قَيْسَرْ فَلَا قَيْسَرْ بَعْدَهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in his lifetime that when Kisra will be destroyed, then after Kisra, there will be no Kisra again. And when Qaisar will be destroyed, there will be no Qaisar again. What this means is that when the Roman Empire will be destroyed, thereafter the Roman Empire will never be able to rule again. There will be no more Roman Empire. And likewise, when the Persian Empire is destroyed, thereafter there will be no more Persian Empire. So this prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also came true. So over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that you will be given these opportunities. The Battle of Hunain, likewise the Battle of Yamama in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and the Battle of Qadisiyah and Yarmouk during the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu against the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. So there is consolation for the believers. And for the munafiqun, there is a test. The test for the munafiqun is that you are saying that you really want to give your lives or you really want to make this sacrifice on this occasion. So if you really want to make a sacrifice, then you are not allowed to join the Muslims on this occasion, but in future there are going to be these events. Then you can show how much sacrifice you want to make. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this, consoling the believers who feel that they will be missing out on this opportunity, and likewise the munafiqun also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that at that time tuqatilunahum, you will fight them, aw yuslimun, or they will surrender. And how will they surrender? They will surrender in one of two ways. Either they will embrace Islam. So when they will embrace Islam, then there will be no need to continue fighting against them. Or the second way is that they will be prepared to pay the jizya, the tax. So when they will be prepared to pay the jizya, then this means they have accepted your rule, and now you can rule over them, and they will live under your rule. So, aw yuslimun. So on that occasion, fa'in tuti'u. On that occasion, if you obey, and you obey the call and march in jihad, يُؤْتِكُمُ اللَّهُ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا, Allah Ta'ala will accord you, He will give you a grand reward. So this grand reward is that number one, you will gain the booty, the spoils of war. And thereafter number two, in the Akhirah, Allah Ta'ala will grant you Jannah. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا, but if you turn away, كَمَا تَوَلَّيْتُمْ, like you did in the past. So just as on the occasion of Treaty of Hudaybiyah, you didn't join the Muslims, if on that occasion also you do not join the Muslims, يُعَذِّبُكُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا, then Allah Ta'ala will inflict a painful punishment on you. Now over here, there are two points which can be deduced from these ayat. One is that in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions that كَذَلِكُمْ قَالَ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. In ayah number 15, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that soon when you proceed to take possession of the booty, those munafiqun left behind will say, they will say, allow us to follow you. They wish to alter Allah's speech. Tell them, you may never follow us. Thus Allah has stated this from before. So the question is, that where in the Quran before has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, that you are not allowed to follow us? So when you open the Quran and you try and find this in the Quran, you do not find it anywhere in the Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying clearly here that Allah ta'ala has stated this from before. So we will pose this question to every believer and every individual who studies the Quran, that where has Allah Ta'ala mentioned this before? So those who have the knowledge will say that it is not mentioned anywhere in the Quran. Rather, it is mentioned in the Hadith. So here there is an answer to those who reject the Hadith. There are a certain group of individuals who are known as the Munkirin Hadith. They reject Hadith. They only believe in Quran. So they say that we only follow Quran. As far as Hadith is concerned, we do not believe in Hadith. But even them, if you were to ask them that where has Allah Ta'ala mentioned this, then they will say that it's not in the Quran, but it's in the Hadith. So then you will say to them that when it's in the Hadith, then this means that just as Quran is the word of Allah, Hadith has to also be the word of Allah. Just as Quran is wahi, Hadith has to be wahi. This is wahi matlu, that wahi which is recited. And Hadith is that wahi which is not recited. But they are both wahi. This is why the answer is in the Hadith. So this is one way we answer them and say to them that just as you have to believe Quran is wahi, you have to also believe Hadith is wahi. Because this you will not find anywhere in the Quran, but you will find in the Hadith. This is one point. And a second point that we can deduce from here is that Allah Ta'ala mentions here, سَتُدْعَوْنَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ, that soon You will be called towards a nation of immense strength, whom you will fight. So Allah Ta'ala is speaking to the Muslims. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is saying to the Muslims that you will be called towards a cause which will be a cause of Islam. So whoever will be calling, they'll be calling towards a cause which is the cause, which is on the haq, which is on the truth. And what is the tafsir of this? The tafsir of this, there are three. Number one, Hunayn. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called towards Hunayn. Number two, the battle of Yamama. Who called towards the battle of Yamama? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And number three, the battle of Qadisiyah and the battle of Yarmouk. And who called towards these two battles? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So the Quran is saying you will be called towards a cause which will be a cause which will be on the haq and the truth. And those who will be calling towards these causes will be Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu. So this is an answer towards those who claim that after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the first Khalifa should have been Ali radiallahu anhu. They don't believe in the Khilafat of Abu Bakr and Umar. So we are saying to them that the Quran is saying that you are going to be called towards such a cause towards which those people will be calling towards the cause who are going to be in the haq. So this is proof that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the correct Khalifa and Umar radiallahu anhu was also the correct Khalifa. So in a very fine manner, these points can also be deduced from these verses of the Quran. Finally, in the last ayah for today, when these verses were revealed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in tatawallaw yu'adhibukum adhaban alima, that when you are called towards these battles, if you turn away, then you will be punished severely. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma mentions that those sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in and those Muslims who had some sort of an excuse due to which they could not engage in battle and they could not participate in the battle, then they felt a great sense of concern and worry. That Allah Ta'ala here is saying that when you are called towards the battle, if you present excuses, then you are going to be punished. So what about us? Although our excuse is genuine, but we are still presenting an excuse. So to console them, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala reveals the next ayah. That laysa alal a'ma haraj, there shall be no sin for the blind. If you are blind, and because you are blind, you can't participate in the battle, then you do not need to worry. Wala alal a'raji haraj, and there shall be no sin for the paralyzed, for the lame. Wala alal maridhi haraj, and there shall be no sin for the ill person. If somebody is too ill to participate, then again, this is a genuine excuse. And over here, although these three excuses have been mentioned, but it doesn't only mean these excuses, it's any excuse which is genuine. This is why in another place Allah Ta'ala mentions, لَيْسَ عَلَى الدُّعَفَى, that there is no blame upon those who are weak. If somebody is too weak to participate, then he may remain behind, whether physically he is weak or whether financially he is weak. وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرْضَى, likewise those who are sick. وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ حَرَجٌ, and those who do not have the wealth and the financial ability to participate in war, in the battle. Because sometimes it's possible that physically a person is able to, but he has no money, he cannot purchase a horse. And the journey is such that without a horse it's not going to be possible. Or he doesn't even have the ability to purchase the armor or the sword, the weapons. And there is nobody else who can assist him. So in such a case, this will also be a genuine excuse. The Quran is saying that if somebody has a genuine excuse, they do not need to worry. But yes, remember, إِذَا نَصَحُوا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, this is for those people who are genuine in their excuse. It's not that you're blind and you sit at home and you think to yourself that it's good, I'm blind. Now I don't have to participate in the battle. No, it's not for such people. Genuinely, inside you are feeling that I wish I could have participated. The same goes for any good deed. A person in the month of Ramadan falls ill. Now he falls ill, and he had every intention to sin itikaf in the last 10 days, but he falls ill. Now this is a genuine reason. Now inside he is feeling that, I wish I didn't fall ill, I really wanted to sin itikaf. Allah Ta'ala will reward him for that itikaf even while he is sitting at home. But another person feels that, it's good I've fallen ill, now I don't have to go. This is not genuine. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, إِذَا نَصَحُوا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. So he feels this regret. And together with this regret, that I cannot participate in the battle, but I have some wealth. So he says to his wife that, let's give this wealth to the mujahideen and assist them as much as we can. I personally, physically cannot participate, but let's do whatever we can. Financially we can assist, so let's assist financially. If he cannot even assist financially, but he has the ilm and the knowledge of deen, then he goes around and he begins to encourage people that I cannot participate in the battle, but you go and participate. And if he cannot even do this, then he sits in a corner and genuinely, sincerely, he makes dua for the Muslims and the mujahideen. That I cannot physically participate, let me at least make dua for them. So this is genuine. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that those who have a genuine reason, they don't need to worry. And وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, Allah ta'ala then ends the ayah with the words that he who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتِ, Allah ta'ala will enter such a person in gardens, تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, beneath which rivers flow. وَمَن يَتَوَلَّ يُعَذِّبْهُ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا, as for those who turn away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inflict them with a painful punishment. Now, something very similar was mentioned before also in this surah, and something very similar is being mentioned here also. So in the Quran, there is no repetition. So in the apparent, when we see repetition, then this means that there is a reason for that repetition. Otherwise, it is not repetition. So over here, as far as the first occasion is concerned, when Allah Ta'ala mentions this very similar point, over there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was speaking with regards to a specific group. Allah Ta'ala was speaking directly to those people and addressing those people who didn't participate in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And now in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is addressing the entire ummah until the day of Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to each and every one of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to each and every one of us that if you obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in whatever the command may be, whether it is jihad, whether it is salah, whether it is zakah, whether it is hajj, whether it is refraining from guna and refraining from sin, whatever the demand is at that time, if you obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then for you is the reward of Jannah and all the rewards that have been promised. And if you disobey Allah Ta'ala, then for you is a severe punishment. So in here there is a warning now for the entire ummah till the day of Qiyamah. That this is not only for the munafiqeen and the hypocrites who didn't participate in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah and who will not participate in the future events like Qadisiyah and Yamama and Yarmouk and Hunayn. No, this is for everyone until the day of Qiyamah. This is a warning. That whenever Allah Ta'ala commands you to do something, you better be prepared to do it. Wherever Allah Ta'ala tells you to refrain from something, you must be prepared to refrain from it. If you do it, Jannah is awaiting you. If you refrain from it, the azab is awaiting you. And together with a warning, there is also a consolation here. And the consolation is that those who accepted Islam later, or you and I, we may think to ourselves that look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding those who participated in jihad. But we can't participate in jihad. The demand of jihad from Sharia is not there right now in our lives. So we are going to miss out on these rewards. The Quran is saying, no, it's not only for jihad. وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, whoever obeys Allah and His Rasul, whatever the demand is. So if the demand is perform Maghrib Salah right now, you perform Maghrib Salah, for you is that reward also. At Isha time, the demand is perform Isha Salah, perform Isha Salah. In the month of Ramadan, fast, so fast. So the doors to acquire these rewards will be open until the day of Qiyamah. Whether it's in the form of jihad or salah or zakat or hajj, this doesn't matter. You just need to look at this moment in time, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking from me, and do that. If you do that, you will also gain these rewards. And if you don't do it, then just as they have been warned, then you are also being warned of the azab and the punishment. So you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us all the ability to understand whatever messages have been mentioned in these ayat and in these verses. And this also strengthens our iman that over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that تُدْعَوْنَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ, that soon you will be called to fight against a nation of immense strength. So it was very possible that this ayah would be revealed and then all those munafiqun and hypocrites, they would have all left this world by the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu or Umar radiallahu anhu, and the world could have said, look, the Quran was wrong. That the Quran said that you're going to be called towards these people, but they all passed away. But no, Allah Ta'ala kept them alive. They remained alive during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also. They remained alive during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu also. And they had this opportunity. And those who accepted Islam, they then said that we are waiting. That Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran. So sometime in our life, this is going to happen. The likes of Rafi bin Khadij radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I was waiting that when is this going to happen? And then in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made the announcement that the battle of Yamama is going to take place and we are going to engage in war against Musaylama Kadhab and the Banu Hanifa tribe, then I remembered this ayah, and this ayah came in my mind that Allah Ta'ala said we will be called. So now we are being called. So when the Quran says something, it will happen. This is the final lesson. If you read something in the Quran or you read something in the Hadith, whether it's a warning or whether it's a virtue. For many good deeds, we read virtues that if you do this, this is the virtue. This will be the reward. This will be the result. And if you commit this sin, then this is going to happen. So always at that time, remind yourself that the Quran can never be wrong. Hadith can never be wrong. If it says it will happen, it will either happen today or tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, but it will happen. This should be our iman and yaqeen and Quran and Hadith. So you make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He grants us that firm belief in the Quran and that firm belief in the Hadith. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who practice upon the Quran and Hadith. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success just as He granted success to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rid this earth from oppression and from oppressors. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the success in this world also. And all the success in the hereafter also. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. If the brothers can please stand up and move forward and make the rows. Please stand close together. Once the rows are made, you can sit down.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
اللهم وفقنا لما اللهم صل وسلم ورحمة الله.